Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I started a folder my first year of preaching way back in 1987. I was a youth pastor then, and Dr. Hobbs had me start preaching on Sunday nights. And at Christmas time, I had some Christmas messages I preached. And now my Christmas folder, after 33 years, is about this thick. I found it the other day. I couldn't find it last year, and I found it today so I could add in last year's Christmas sermons. But it's amazing how, when you look back over your ministry, how your teaching and preaching has changed through the years. Hopefully, I've matured a little bit. And I noticed that my sermons were 10, 12 pages long back then. Now I've got them down to about a page and a half with that kind of stuff because I was scared to death to venture off of the page. But as you get a little bit older and you get a little bit wiser, you begin to seek the Lord to give you the words to say. And He is sometimes when you come to the Christmas season, you think, what am I going to speak on? You know, what challenge can I bring that will help God's people and will encourage them? At the same time, not just being repetitive of the same things, you know, year after year. And that's the wonderful beauty of the Word of God. It's always fresh. It's always rich. There is so much to mine out of God's Word that we'll never run out of things to study when it comes to any subject related to what the Bible has revealed to us. And so I'm so thankful for that. And I started this last week called The Season of Sacrifice. Now, misunderstand me. We talked about the horrible event that took place of the killing of the boys in Bethlehem, Judea, 2 years old and younger, probably somewhere under 100 children, but any amount of children killed by a king to try to satisfy his desire to prevent somebody 20 years down the road from taking away his throne. It is so childish. It's evil. It is so childish, it's evil. Here was a man that was worried about a child taking over his throne 18, 20 years down the road, and he was willing to kill little infants. Now understand that that is just one element of the story. It's not the whole story. Obviously, there are many different elements. But what I have found is this one element of the Christmas account is almost completely forgotten. It's not talked about. It's kind of blotted out of our thinking. And I think it's important to understand that with this season, there is the element of sacrifice that is included in the gospel account concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. We have the death of the male children. And then I want you to see in Luke chapter 2 tonight, this theme of sacrifice again that is brought out. And it takes place in verses 34 through 35 of this particular passage of Scripture, but I want you to get the context of it. So we're going to begin reading at verse 25 because it's a message that Simeon brought to both Mary and to Joseph about the child that they held in their hands. Now this is what Simeon shared with them. It was revelation from God. And I think it's important for us to keep that in mind. Notice what he says. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same was a just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now remember, this is before the days of the Holy Ghost living within a person. In the Old Testament era, before the death of the testator, which was Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came upon people for certain missions and certain purposes. And we find that this individual had the Holy Spirit. Now that's an important detail to understand. Because what he's going to share is from God's Spirit to Joseph and to Mary to help them understand more about what their purpose is and what the purpose of this child is. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That's Simeon. God told him, he said, you're not going to die until you get to see the Christ child. Now, I don't know how old he was at this particular point, but I do know that he knew and understood that he would live until he got to see the promised one. What a gift from God. You ever thought about that? What a gift from God that this man got to enjoy, that he would get to see the Christ child. So let's continue on, verse 27. And it came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. I wonder how many of us would pray that prayer. You ever thought about that? Oh, I've got to hold the Christ child. And then you start thinking, how long am I going to live after this? And I doubt very many would say, Lord, go ahead and take me on now. Most of us want to hang around as long as we can. Dr. Bill was telling me yesterday, he said, I was supposed to die in the hospital. They told Shirley twice that she needed to get up there and be near him because they thought he was going to pass in the nighttime. He said, the Lord spared my life. He said, Brother Todd, I don't know, other than the fact that God's not done with me here. And he probably needs to chip a few more rough edges off this old man here, and then he'll be ready to bring me on into his presence. And I told him, I said, we all live with the same expectation, brother. I said, I'm praying that we get to go up with the trumpet sound. That would be a wonderful thing. But you know what? The other way is not so bad either. And we go, oh no. Well, who are you believing then? Because my Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. We like to make there a big gap in between somehow, this dark, horrible thing that's happened. No, not for the Christian. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And that is a truth that we need to let. Paul goes on in greater detail in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he says that God has removed the sting from death. He's taken that away. And so, what is there to fear? It's the idea of death. It's leaving your family members. Okay? Let's face it. It's the human side that tugs on us. And the spiritual side, like Simeon says, Lord, take me on. All right? Take me on. I've got to see your son. Now, we're not told in the Bible how long he lived afterwards. I don't think he went home and died the next day. But I do know that God kept His promise to Simeon. Now let's continue on here. Verse 30, For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and Mary marveled at those things which were spoken of him. But Simeon wasn't done, was he? Up to this point, boy, this is wonderful. He's a light to lighten the Gentiles. He is going to be the glory of the people of Israel. He is our salvation. Then it says in verse 32, And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and notice, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. In the Greek language, the idea is going to be opposition. There are going to be people that are opposed to this sign. But he's not even finished then. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Father, I pray that you'd bless this time in your word tonight, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I read to you last time what John Donne said in 1626 in a Christmas sermon that he preached, where he said, Christ's birth and His death were but one continual act of sacrifice, and His Christmas Day and His Good Friday are but the evening and morning of one and the same day. That is, to me, very edifying. It helps me to understand. The Lord Jesus was on this earth for 33 years, but the whole thing has a thread of sacrifice in it. His setting aside the prerogatives of His deity to come to this earth in obedience to the Father and living in human flesh here upon this earth and going through all the temptations that we go through and going through all the sorrows. He went to funerals too, growing up. He saw the sorrows of life and the sickness that possessed so many people. Oh, he healed so many people too, did he not? The widow of Nain was walking along the bier of her son, going along, and there were mourners weeping, and he went over, and the Bible says he touched the bier, and her son came to life, and she received him alive. Now imagine going from intense anguish, having watched your child die, and then he's brought back to life. And who did that? It was the Lord Jesus. Did he do everybody? We deal with sickness and death all the time. There are some people that are healed and there are some people that died. That's life on the earth under the curse. We need to understand that. But you and I have a promise. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is life eternal, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So there's wonderful news in the gospel. But he reminds this young teenage mother here, who's just given birth to this child. It's a week later. They've come for the circumcision at the temple. And Simeon is there and he holds this child. And he said, this child will bring sorrow to your heart as if a sword is thrust through your heart. It's interesting the word that's used for sword. You know, the Romans had a sword which was very short. It was for close combat. But the Thracians had a different sword, and that's the word that's used here. It was a monstrous sword that they used, that they wielded to dispatch heads as they went into battle. I mean, it was a very massive sword that was used. And that's the word the Bible uses about this kind of a sword would be used to strike at your heart, to reveal the thoughts of many. Now, isn't it interesting that that same picture is used by the Apostle Paul when he says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing asunder of the joints and the marrow, and what else? Soul and spirit. All right? The Word, the sword. And yet this picture, this child that you hold in your arms is going to bring sorrow to your heart like a sword pierced through. Not a Roman sword, but a sword from Thrace. A massive sword that would bring sorrow and difficult. In other words, sacrifice. Sacrifice. Good news tempered with what? Sacrificial news. Sacrificial news. It's always sad at the time of a child's birth when sorrow strikes. I've gotten news many, many times over the years. I was at a funeral home visiting a family that was there right before the funeral, and we were talking in a side room. And then I watched the men bring by a tiny little casket, walk by the door. They were headed to the next room beside us. And the wife and the husband came in, and I just happened to be walked by, and I walked over to them, and I said, do you mind if I have prayer with y'all? I said, I know that y'all are about to have folks come in, and you're going to have the funeral after hours, from according to them. And they said, would you please pray? And the wife was just, you know, you could tell she had been crying. They lost their little one. Sorrow. Difficulty. Sacrifice. I was up on the fourth floor of the hospital, and they had a delivery in the room, not normally a delivery room, but it was a friend of mine, one of our coaches. I grew up playing ball with him, and he was at the end of the hall leaning again. He had his hands over his face like this, and he was just weeping, and I walked down to him, and I called him by name. I said, Tim, is everything all right? He said, they just performed emergency surgery. My wife is dead, and they just delivered the baby. 36 years of age. Massive brain hemorrhage. The door opened, and they had her covered. And there you could see where they had performed the surgery, and there you could hear the baby crying in there. And He said, Todd, what am I going to do? What am I going to do, Todd? I said, Tim, let's pray right now. And we prayed out in the hallway. And I said, I'm praying that God will give you grace to get through this thing. You're being called upon now to carry a very heavy load to raise an infant without a mom. He raised that child for 6 years before he remarried. That child is now in their late 20s. But I couldn't help but think. This was before we had our last two children. I had two kids at the time. And I remember just sitting there, Lord, what a heavy load. You've called this man. He's a believer, lay preacher in Texas right now, but called upon to carry such a heavy load with a little baby that will never know its mom. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Now, there is a thread that runs through the Christmas account that's given to us here that illustrates for us a little bit of the soberness of Bethlehem. A little bit of the reality of living in this world. That Jesus Christ's presence in this world would not mean the end of all sacrifice and suffering. That's going to come after this life. Anybody that promises that there'll be no sorrow, no difficulty, we promise you if you send in your money, we'll send you a prayer cloth and it's going to make you all better and you're never going to have any more trouble. Just keep the check coming. They're a shyster. They're a false teacher. This world is full of sorrow. This world is full of sacrifice. Sacrifices that we have to make in this world. It's not easy. But we have the Savior who was the picture of enduring sacrifice for us. And that grace and that strength that comes through His example, but also through the power that He manifests through His Holy Spirit in our life is a comfort. Not to seek, as Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, don't ask God to take away your burden. Ask God to give you bigger shoulders to carry the burden. That's a hard request, you know. But it's true. God never promised us problem-free life. Never promised us that we go through all of our life and never have any sicknesses. My mom and I were conversing about that very thing. My mom has rarely gone to a doctor in the last 50 years. 50 years. Maybe, what, Pop? Four or five appointments during that 50 years just for a checkup. And then all of a sudden, it hits. She had her chemo treatment today. We had a good time to talk yesterday on the phone, had prayer together. And, you know, it was to see how God's working in all of this. And she remarked to me, she said, Todd, I've lived for so many years without ever having to go to the doctor, and then all of a sudden this happens and going through all this difficulty. But she said, you know, the Lord does give peace. The Lord gives strength and comfort and grace. And I'm sensing that and I understand that. Is it easy? No, it's not. Season of sacrifice. We're all called upon it. It's part of living the Christian life in this world. But always remember, Jesus lived it first. The Lord Jesus lived it first. I want you to see this theme of sacrifice in the Scriptures because it's embedded within the timeline of the Scripture through the atonement, through the sacrifices of the Old Testament, the constant bloodshed that had to happen as a temporary covering. Never taking the place of Christ's sacrifice, but looking forward to that time that the blood of bulls and goats would be forever set aside and the once-for-all atonement would be sufficient for us. You know, we need to see this through Genesis, through Revelation. I want us to think for just a moment. There are many, many sacrifices in the Old Testament before anything is ritualized in law. Before it was given to Moses, there were a lot of sacrifices that led up to that. We see the first in Genesis, where the Lord sacrificed animals to make clothing for Adam and Eve. That was their first lesson in what? Sacrifice. They'd never seen bloodshed before at that point. They'd never seen that before. They had lived in the perfect environment. Everything was perfect, and now blood is shed, and they have these coats that used to be on these animals, but now they're on me. A lesson in sacrifice. The lesson continues on. We can go to Cain and Abel. What happens with that? Oh, Cain, he doesn't bring a blood sacrifice. He does his own thing. He brings of the fruit of his labors out in the garden. I'm going to bring those. I'm going to sacrifice those to the Lord. God says, that's not good enough. You see, something has to die in order for there to be a covering. Well, the vegetables died. I pulled them from the ground. Oh, no, no, no. Blood has to be shed. Blood has to be shed. Sacrifice is pictured. What does Cain do? He goes out and he sheds blood by killing his brother. He was unwilling to offer God's requirement of a blood sacrifice, but then he goes out and murders his brother and sheds blood. And as a matter of fact, when God comes and confronts Cain, He said, "The blood of thy brother crieth from the ground." You see the difference? There's God's way and there's your way. Your way will bring just as much death. You can cry out and complain, "I can't, the gospel's so bloody." Well, what do you think your life's producing? Think about that. What is your life producing apart from Jesus Christ? Our streets were rampant with violence. This past weekend, 28 people were shot in Chicago, 6 died. One weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday last weekend. Unbelievable crime being committed. That's human flesh demonstrating that attitude, that raunchiness of heart. We see the picture beyond Cain and Abel to Abraham and Isaac, where Abraham is called upon to go up into the mountain, that same mountain that the Lord Jesus Christ would be crucified on many, many years later. But the Lord does not accept a human sacrifice, does He? The Bible says, God hath prepared Himself a, what? An animal, a ram in this particular situation. Was caught in the thicket. God prepared that for the sacrifice to be used. But what did Abraham have to do with Isaac? What did God call? Sacrifice. Are you willing to give your son for me? Are you willing to give your son? And he was willing to do that. The Bible said that he was ready to plunge the knife into his son, and God called out to him and stopped him. Thankfully, Abraham was obedient. I wonder where he learned that. I'm going to tell you right now, there'd be some people I wouldn't trust with a knife hanging over me. If God spoke from heaven, they're liable to be hard of hearing, and it'd be all over with. But you know what Abraham believed, and we're told about this in the New Testament, that he would receive his son alive. If he had sacrificed him and killed him there, he would receive his son back alive. That's what he believed about his God. But the lesson is sacrifice between Abraham and Isaac in Genesis 22. We could go on. We look at the two dominant sacrifices of Israel, the Passover and the Day of Atonement. Passover is connected with Israel's very identity, which happened the night that God would deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. They were told to sacrifice a lamb, and if they desired to spare the firstborn son, they were to put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintels. They were to make the sacrifice, and they were to partake of the sacrifice. They were to eat it and be ready to go. That night there was weeping and wailing all throughout the country because there were so many that did not know the Lord, but the children of Israel that obeyed God's command were delivered by blood. Sacrifice. They were delivered by sacrifice. The Bible says that God's angel hovered over them to shield them, protect them from the evil angel that was carrying out the sword. Again, a message of sacrifice. We go to the New Testament, and we see the principle of atonement that's given to us there. Two terms are emphasized in the New Testament. There is expiation and propitiation. Expiation and propitiation, two very important terms. By expiation, we mean that the sacrifice cancels the sin. Do you know that Jesus Christ's blood shed on Calvary cancels sin? We're delivered from that sin. That work was done once for all. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. What a glorious picture. That's expiation. But then there's propitiation. Propitiation is the Father being satisfied with the work of the Son. The blood was shed and the Father was satisfied. Now He could act justly because His Son bore all of our sin in His body on the tree. Now He can forgive sinners and be perfectly just in doing so. Because what is the cost of sin? The wage of sin is death. Always has to have shed blood. What is that? The story of sacrifice. Once again, in those two terms, expiation and propitiation, you see that picture of sacrifice. Jesus Christ was the only Lamb of God because He was the only one that met all the criteria that could bring satisfaction to the Father and would cancel sin. Are you thankful for the story of sacrifice? And then it appears right here in the early chapters of Matthew and the early chapters of Luke, in the story of the incarnation of Jesus Christ and His virgin birth, we see sacrifice once again. And it bears out this fact that the very king that ordered the deaths of those children would be the one that Jesus Christ would die for. All those other babies would die, but Jesus Christ would be spared only to die, and His blood would be efficacious and make it possible for all those wicked, iniquitous souls for all history to be able to look to that atonement and find deliverance. That's the picture that we find here. It's the story of sacrifice. When you study the life of Peter and you study the life of Paul, and you study the life of Timothy, and you look at all these different individuals, the Apostle John, over and over and over again in their Christian lives, they are suffering, and they're having to make what? Sacrifices. Sacrifices. Paul left for dead, having been stoned, beaten, 39 stripes. Oh, it will spare one. Can you imagine? The utter thing. He says in I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that he went nights where he could not sleep because of the pain and the torments that he went through. He had a thorn in the flesh. Sacrifice. My point in all of this, and we can look on to all the other sacrifices yet to be made in the future. Revelation is full of them. The martyred saints. Those that will die during the tribulation period for the cause of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice that will be made. But one day, those martyred saints under the throne of Jesus Christ will be taken care of. Justice will be served. And they will be set free to honor and glorify Him in physical bodies for all eternity. There's a beautiful picture in all of this. That sacrifice always leads to glory. Isn't that wonderful? Sacrifice always leads to glory. The martyrs that cry under the throne of God will be set free. And they will enjoy a body for all the rest of eternity like unto His glorious body. Glory. Glory. Folks, I want to encourage you at this Christmas season that we not get so wrapped up in the things that we think are important that really aren't. They're really not that important. You're not going to take one Christmas gift to heaven. But I'm going to tell you what you are going to take. Your soul and spirit. And you better know Jesus Christ, or they're not going to go to heaven either. That's what's important. What are we emphasizing with our children and our grandchildren? What are we emphasizing? Is it strictly the commercial side of Christmas? Or is there sacrifice? It's all right to sacrifice. Amen? It's all right to sacrifice. And there are many that need to hear the message of sacrifice at this Christmas time. And we have the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all. Don't let your family that don't know Jesus Christ get through this whole Christmas time and you haven't given them a word of witness. You may give them new socks, or you may give them a gift card to Home Depot, but that won't take away what they need. And that's the message of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in their behalf. Do you want to spend all eternity with them or just Christmas time? Boy, it got quiet. We don't think about that, do we? We want to spend Christmas? Christmas, Christmas! Well, are we going to spend eternity with them? Well, I don't know. We don't know? We need to talk to them. We need to share with them the gospel. And I'll tell you something even better than that. You better live the gospel in front of them. So they said, I'm not listening to them. They're just a fraud. They talk one thing and live another way. Our lives are an epistle read of all men, Paul said. And we need to make sure our epistle says the same message as what we preach about Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, bless us now as we go to our prayer time. We pray that you would anoint your word tonight to hearts and lives. We live in a culture today that doesn't abide by what we've just shared tonight. It's a void sacrifice at every possible corner. We cannot have this or that or the other because that causes pain. We have to be delivered from all that. Well, we have to understand that our lives are called upon to sacrifice because we're believers. We're believers in Christ, and we live in a sin-cursed world. Help us, dear Father, not to run from the testimony of your word. Help us to see in the Christmas story that there was sacrifice. It's not the whole story. It's just a portion, but it's a portion that should never be neglected. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.